Ours is a God nearby. Ours is a God who fills heaven and earth, whose voice commands hearing. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse our thoughts from cleanse our thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
O God, Judge eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of the faith, of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, and Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name at Baal. Yet the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 82 responsively with me. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hands of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around the darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. The second reading is from Hebrews, the 11th and 12th chapter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women have received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains of imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went through in skins of sheep and goat, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yes, all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Before I begin, a prediction. When I end this, I will say, the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the prediction. I promise you that will happen. I predict that you will all say, regardless of what is in this gospel, praise be to Christ. Anyway, not sure why, given what I'm about to read.
Praise be to Christ.
That's right. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring, these are Jesus' words, by the way, do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Five will be divided, three against two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the present, interpret the appearance of the earth. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
Told you. Told you would do it. You may be seated. Oh, man. You think? This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I understand correctly, the gospel, the good news, is a pyromaniac, Jesus, who in his own words, he came to bring fire to the earth, and how he wishes it were already kindled, how he wishes the earth were already burning. Well, good news, Jesus, a pyromaniac coming, promising division, not peace. In what world is this good news? I'm guessing, just going to throw it out there, I'm guessing that this might be good news to people who aren't doing well under the ways of the current world. Perhaps those that were gathered to hear Jesus preach that they were people of a world living under Roman occupation. This is probably good news to a people in a world in which the powerful few held the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. They held that peace, how? With soldiers in the edge of a sword. We think that this fire and division pyromaniac Jesus is jarring, and he is jarring. We were promised a prince of peace. Isaiah promised us a prince of peace. So we understandably struggle to see this crazed proclamation as good news. But I'll tell you, this isn't the first crazed proclamation of Luke's gospel. Mary, anybody here ever heard of Mary? Mary, she's just this insignificant peasant woman. I mean, that's what she was, let's be honest. In her Magnificat, she makes some crazy claims about her yet-to-be-born, illegitimate, and very lowly son. It's crazy what she says. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. In what world is this good news? To Mary, for one, this is good news. To those like Mary, those living in a world like Mary's, she's an unwed pregnant woman in a world that doesn't care about women, especially unwed pregnant women. So hearing and knowing that she will be the one to bear a child that will overthrow the oppressors, that will feed the hungry and lift up the lowly, this is to her unequivocal good news. More crazy proclamations in Luke's gospel. The first account of when Jesus teaches and preaches in Luke's gospel. It goes a little something like this. He's in the synagogue. He's preaching on the Sabbath. He unrolls the scroll and he keeps unrolling and unrolling and unrolling. And he finds the place from the prophet Isaiah where it says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, says Jesus. Well, that's a pretty bold claim. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which if you don't know, means about every 50 years you give everything back to the people to whom it belongs. That's kind of crazy. And this crazed proclamation ends how? Well, Jesus almost ends up at the bottom of a cliff. That's his first sermon. There were clearly some in the synagogue who would have been questioning, who were questioning, in what world is what Jesus saying good news? I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I think it's fair to say that there are some or many here today in this church who are questioning, in what world is this good news? When I read this week, I asked myself many times, in what world is this good news? But I can assure you that this is an unequivocal good news to those whose world, the world that they know, is poverty, hunger, captivity, oppression. To those who live on the margins, to those who are pushed to the margins, to those who may not feel welcome in any place or this place. I can't claim to speak for you, so I'm going to speak for myself here. I am not poor. I am not captive, nor am I oppressed. My heart is far too proud for my own good, and probably your own good. I am not hungry, nor am I lowly. I have never not had my fill. I am in a position of undue power. I got this fancy thing underneath here, I got one of these collars. That gives me a position of undue power in this place. You even give me a throne to sit on, okay? Right? And some of you are probably mad that I don't sit in it. I am not marginalized. And I think I'm welcome here. At least you allow me to come here and on Sunday stand here and talk while you at least pretend to listen to me. So what then? So, let me step back. It's no wonder that I wouldn't hear a text that's calling for bringing fire to what is as not good news for me. So what am I supposed to do? Maybe I can lie to myself. Maybe I can claim that Jesus' fiery words, they're meant for other people. Right? They certainly can't be meant for me. I mean, there's certainly people with more power and more riches and more wealth than me. Maybe I should deny that I get to wield undue power from the many thrones with which this life has privileged me. And yes, I am okay with calling myself privileged because I am. Maybe I can claim that it is me who is oppressed in this world, claiming that this fiery good news is then therefore for me because Jesus came for the oppressed. Or maybe I could claim all of my privilege and my power and say this: I'm going to use it to earn the good news, because we know we can earn this, right? What could go wrong if I used my privilege and power for my good? Your good. I could stoke the fires of change that I know this world needs. Change that I know is righteous and just. I could burn away all that I judge to be broken and unfixable. And when I see that what I have done has stoked division and not peace, then, as Jesus said, that's good news, because I will know that I am obviously doing Jesus' work. Some might even say that I'm the second coming of Jesus, because I've used my power to fill the hungry, lift the lowly, and throw the powerful from their thrones. Except for my throne, I get to keep my throne. I think we see the risk there. Far too many me's and my's and I's. How often as Christians do we think that Jesus' fiery words don't apply to us? These fiery words apply to all of us. They're meant for the ones whom we disagree with? Yes, but also us. How often do we take Jesus out of the story of the world's salvation and make it all about us? And how dangerous it is for this world when we do that. How often do we make ourselves the savior of this story, of ourselves, of others, and of this world? And how dangerous it is when humans try to control everything. We hear Jesus lament. Skipped a paragraph. Jesus, when he preaches in the synagogue for the very first time, he sparks a fire. And as his ministry continues, as he acts out the Magnificat, as he acts out Mary's song throughout his ministry, he does so to fan the flames. And by the time he reaches Jerusalem, what else could possibly await him than this blazing inferno that is going to consume him? We hear Jesus lament, "How I wish this fire were already kindled." And he wastes no time telling us why. "I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed." This blazing inferno that Jesus himself has brought to this earth, he started this blazing inferno by standing up for the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, against the rich and the powerful. And he started a fire. And he must now endure this fire. And Jesus, and only Jesus, can and does endure this fire. It is a fire that is endured right there on that cross. When Jesus says he must endure a baptism, what stress it is under until he undergoes this baptism, the cross is the baptism of which he speaks. In a story of bringing fire to this earth, we might expect Jesus to overwhelm the earthly powers that be with godly power. We might expect Jesus to call his Father in heaven to rain hellfire. I mean, I would. It's a good thing I'm not Jesus. Jesus. And yeah, that's the end of the sermon right there. Jesus very well could burn it all to the ground, but he doesn't. Jesus instead walks through the fire. He gives of his very own self for the love of a world that tried to burn him to the ground. And I will say tried because the cross didn't have the last word, which is why the cross stands as a victory for us. This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But does this good news solve all the problems of a world that seems to be constantly aflame? Does the cross solve all the world's problems? I mean, if we think that we are the saviors of the world, then no, the good news of Jesus Christ, this cross doesn't mean anything to the world. But if we think Jesus kind of matters, just even a little bit, then the cross, the cleansing waters, the renewing waters, the fiery waters of our, then the fiery waters of our baptism, they join us to the baptism in which Jesus was baptized. And it is a fiery baptism on the cross. What does our baptism do? In our baptism, we die to ourselves and we rise in Christ. His ways become our ways, which means that the ways of the world, the ways of earthly power, they are displaced in our hearts, in our actions, and in our lives by Jesus' ways, which aren't raining hellfire. The cross is the way, the symbol, the reality of self-giving love. This is the way of Jesus Christ. And it's the way of Jesus Christ which Luther illuminates for us so proudly in my favorite of all of his writings, The Freedom of a Christian. Luther says, as Christians, we do not live in ourselves, but in Christ and the neighbor. As Christians, we do not live in ourselves. As Christians, we do not live in ourselves, but in Christ and the neighbor. Otherwise, we are not Christian. Say that again. As Christians, we do not live in ourselves, but in Christ and the neighbor. Otherwise, if we don't do this, we are not Christian. That's what the cross does. It frees us to live in the neighbor. Otherwise, we are not Christian. We live in Christ through faith and in the neighbor through love. I'll add to Luther just a little bit here. We live in the neighbor, all our neighbors. We live in the neighbor, all our neighbors. Even the annoying ones, you think of them. We live in all our neighbors, even the annoying ones that we kind of want Jesus to set on fire. Even the ones that we want Jesus to set on fire. Real quick here, at the other service, when someone came through the line in communion, how did you know I wanted to set my neighbor on fire? We live in the neighbor, all our neighbors. And self-giving, lowly lifting, hungry filling, throne shattering love. So I ask again, in what world is this good news? In a world that always seems to be on fire, this, the good news of Jesus Christ, is all the good news that this world needs. That's it. Amen. Not us. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will not come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
Let us pray for the church, creation, and the whole people of God, for God is near.
Safeguard rivers and lakes from pollution, especially the Olentangy and Ohio rivers, Lake Erie, and our local reservoirs, so that they may continue to sustain us, our children, and the communities to which they are essential. Guide the work of conservationists, policymakers, and advocacy groups seeking to protect these and all our freshwater sources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Embrace all who suffer in isolation, for those who are incarcerated or detained, those who are fleeing from unsafe environments, and those who are sick or homebound, especially Andy, Millie, Jack Jr., Dave, those on our long-term and homebound assisted living, limited mobility prayer lists, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Reassure them of your care in all times and places. Hear us, O God.
Guide the leaders of this congregation. Keep us mindful of the mission of our teams and committees so that we may faithfully serve you and our neighbors. Kindle at First Lutheran a spirit of collaboration and support for one another as we come together to do your work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Confident in God's presence and promise, we entrust our prayers to the one who always receives them, through Jesus Christ, our wisdom and companion. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before us. Come, eat, drink, and be renewed.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Sustaining God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Who's starting school this week? If you are starting school this week, if you're an educator or a child that is being educated, please come forward for a blessing.
What if they already started?
Adam, oh, that's right. Adam, come on up. Come on up. Come on up, Adam. It's okay, Adam. Liz doesn't want to be up here either. So let us say a prayer and bless this group who is going to be educated this year and who is going to help educate this year. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for this gift of individuals that are gathered here, both the young who will be educated by their teachers, who will feel your love through your teachers, through their teachers, the aides, the administration, hopefully through all who gather and help grow them into young children, young women and men in this life. We also pray for the educators here, that God may be known through them, that Jesus may be known through them, and what they do, and in how they teach, and in how they interact with the children and their colleagues. And please help these children to make Jesus known through how they interact with their teachers and their classmates. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to flip my blessing around a little bit. We'll do announcements after my blessing because I'm not going to make you stand here through the announcements. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon all of you this school year with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. You can all go sit down now. Even you, Adam. Okay, a few announcements. Update on the refrigerator project. Okay, here's where we're at. After many, 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 many meetings, we think we've settled on a refrigerator. We think it's kind of one step above where we were thinking on our on the last commercial refrigerator. So where we ended up, it's a little more expensive than what council already approved. So we're going to go ahead and ask council to stay after service, which you should have gotten an email on that, for a very brief meeting to approve that amount. That amount is roughly $3,700. So we have at this point collected close to $3,000. So thank you all very, very much for your generous donations on this project to help us continue and sustain our feeding ministry, the fellowship that we're able to do with one another because of having such a great kitchen. So with that, questions on that at the moment? So we will continue to collect donations through the end of the month on that. We have a Lutheran partnership meeting this Wednesday. It is this Wednesday at 7 p.m. here. And we have a community breakfast, speaking of our meal ministry and all of those things. Community breakfast this Saturday. Yes, that's this Saturday at 9 a.m. In an effort to help as much of the community be aware of it as possible, did I say the right time? You're looking at me like I said the wrong time. Okay, gotcha. So anyway, there will be a Facebook post that goes out tomorrow, okay? It already did? I scheduled it at the wrong day. Wow, I'm good at this. Anyway, there's a Facebook post out there. Please share it. There's going to be another Facebook post that goes out on Friday. Please share that as well in an effort to help our community be aware of these breakfasts and meals, meals beginning once again in September. More info on that. Any other announcements this morning? If you're a council member, please stay after worship. And with that, we already did a blessing, so I think you're up, Teacher Adam. Of a God whose voice commands hearing.
Give justice to the weak and the orphan.
Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute.
We will. Thanks.